Welcome to the Full of Money audio commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:10 Greenwich Mean Time. Today is November 17th. Well, I am feeling rejuvenated following 2 days at the chart seminar on Thursday and Friday with really a fascinating group of delegates with a great deal of a combined experience. And you'll see that I've written a bit about it in comment of the day today. What really was extremely evident that came was loud and clear by the end of the couple of days is that the accepted realities that we have in the markets today, such that the re that recessions are expected right around the world, and there's a great deal of gloominess, that demand is inert, and that's the type of activity we'd expect following the declines that we've had, because people who are short are triumphant and are in a very confident position right now. People who are long are nursing their wounds, and their self-doubt is hampering them from making any kind of confident decisions. There is also the fact, of course, that when people have a position which has experienced a large loss, they are unwilling to commit any additional cash that they have in case they fail to pick the bottom correctly, and then they become even more fully invested with more losing positions, which that means that that is delaying people from buying in here, and it is also delaying people from having any kind of confidence in these markets. What that means is that it is going to take time for confidence to return, and the period of time that markets build support and form a basis could be relatively lengthy. But I thought it was also extremely interesting that while there is no evidence yet that we have seen lows for the vast majority of stock markets, and although China is continuing to show relative strength and had a failed downside break a couple of weeks ago, there is still a large degree of nervousness about markets, but the very fact that no one asked to look at a China chart or an India chart or any other emerging market, including Russia or Brazil. We did look at the Russian ruble, but that was the only emerging currency we looked at. We didn't look at a single resources share, and that is at least in part due to the fact that some of the people in the room were nursing losing positions in those instruments. But there's also, of course, the fact that people are just not that interested in these shares at these levels, and that is completely the opposite of what the sentiment was like 6 months ago, when everyone wanted a piece of these shares. And while we don't have any evidence yet that these markets have bottomed, and certainly the role of the dollar in the downtrends that are evident right across so many asset classes remains undiminished, and we're unlikely to get a lot of these, what are considered riskier assets, performing until we see the dollar turning downwards. But the very fact that we didn't look at any of those things at the chart seminar makes me vigilant, and I will be keeping an even greater amount of my attention on these markets for the very reason that I don't want to miss when any of the underperforming sectors that are out there right now begin to outperform, because it is too easy to allow the accepted realities of any particular time to dictate to us what we should be seeing in the charts, because there is an enormous difference between what we think we should see and what's actually there, and we need to concentrate on those chart facts. Looking at markets right now, we had those fantastic upward key reversals on Thursday, but no follow-through on Friday, and none again in here today. You had Wall Street today winging around quite considerably, but closing out the day down in excess of 2% for the Dow, the S&P, and the Nasdaq. It hasn't countermanded entirely those upper dynamics from Thursday, but for example, the Dow really does need to find support above 8,000, And a sustained move below that level will have a lot of people becoming extremely nervous. What we can look at on these charts is the fact, of course, that we've had a massive downward acceleration all the way through October, and October was one of the worst months on record in terms of stock market performance. If we were to flip those charts on the upside and we saw that kind of acceleration on the upside, we would be getting wary about opening long positions. And counterwise, while there's no evidence yet that these markets have bottomed and they could still go lower, it's also probably getting dangerous to start opening short positions down at these levels. And considering the volatility that we've had and the fact that so many trends begin to lose their consistency at the penultimate high, then we can look at these charts and say that perhaps if they do break downwards, then this could have been the penultimate low for these markets. So just like markets lose their consistency at the penultimate high, they lose their consistency at the penultimate low. And considering the extent to which these markets have already fallen, and the very fact that people are starting to talk about the US turning into something like Japan. But of course, the Japanese market fell 70% from its top to bottom over the space of approximately 13 to 14 years, and the S&P is down 50% already. So if this is going to turn into a Japan type situation, markets are very oversold and they don't have very much further to fall to have fallen 70% from their highs and equal the decline that Japan had over a 13 to 14 year period in the space of almost one single year. So personally, I think the likelihood of the Japan stock market scenario being played out in the US is relatively unlikely, although it does look like we're going to see the US indices underperforming a great number of other stock markets around the world. And there is certainly an indication that because liquidity is so remarkably low in here right now, and the companies that have the greatest benefit to themselves are those that have a high degree of cash. Well, then there are also countries that have been running budget surpluses, and they have a competitive advantage. That may be part of the reason why we're starting to see that China's beginning to outperform, because not only is the government engaging itself in a massive stimulus package, but it has the money with which to do so, and that is a significant advantage. Germany is also the biggest exporter in the world, and while it is moving into recession, it is also an enormously wealthy country which has not had those massive housing bubbles that we have had in much of the English-speaking world. So they may be in a better fiscal position to get themselves out of trouble. And of course, there is Japan, which has had a crushing pullback in terms of its stock market performance, but there is a very high savings ratio there, and if even some of that money decides to return home and favors the domestic market, then there's potential for that to appreciate considerably. However, in the very short term, markets remain under pressure, and we've seen a large number of them down in excess of 2 to 3% right across Europe today, and in Asia there was also a great deal of weakness. Australia is certainly one to point out because it's breaking once more on the downside and it's being led by the financials. The financials had gone sideways for a considerable period of time, and the 200-day moving average had returned almost down to the price. There was the opportunity there for the market to begin to outperform its moving average, but it's pulling away again, and that means that there is potential for this market to move even lower. I don't know of a specific reason why Australian financials are underperforming the market so much right now, and if Australian subscribers have any color that they can add to that, we'd be grateful to hear about it. But certainly that's not positive technical action that we're seeing. Looking at a couple of these other asset classes, we continue to see that gilts and bunds are very close to their highs. This has been a very volatile advance, and these are short-term highs that they've posted in the last couple of days. Because it's been so enormously volatile, it means that the progression of higher lows is considerably below where prices are right now, and we are seeing that yields are coming back into interesting areas of potential support. Now, of course, there is a lot of talk about the economic situation deteriorating considerably in Europe and or in the Eurozone and in the UK. So there is potential for these markets to break the potential support levels that are there on those yield charts, but they would need to do it first before the potential for them to rally from these levels is offset, and they have rallied from around these levels on a number of previous occasions, so they will be well worth keeping an eye on to see how they perform. Gold was also quite volatile in here today. It was up to almost 750 earlier on today, but closed out the day around 736. Platinum was also a bit weaker, having gone sideways for much of the last few weeks, and silver is back below $10 for the last few days. So still some pressure in the precious metal markets, and at least in part because of the fact that the dollar was weak most of the day, but strengthened towards the close as Wall Street sold off. And we see that the euro now only up 41 ticks, having been up almost a full cent higher than where it is now earlier on in the session. The pound is a bit firmer in here today, but it has been very oversold and is unwinding some of that oversold condition, but really does need to rally back into that previous range, which would be a major inconsistency for what has been really quite a consistent downtrend so far. The Canadian dollar also a bit stronger in here, although not as strong into the close as it had been earlier on. And it's probably one of the stronger commodity currencies out there right now. The industrial metals were all a bit weaker in here today, as were the soybeans were weaker and corn was up a little bit, but we're not seeing any great performance in the commodity sector generally. The exception there is in the cocoa market, which has rallied reasonably well over the last week and is, well, it had a very good daily or good day today on the particularly that UK contract, because it's one of the only contracts quoted in pounds. So I'm just pulling up the US contract. But there must be some reason that, well, it's quite interesting because that US contract hasn't performed particularly well at all. So that is almost certainly entirely down to the strength of the pound over the last couple of days, and throws out the window the fact that one commodity is performing more than any other. So that leaves us with an environment where everyone is still looking at the dollar, and the dollar's trend still remains intact. And until we see that that is changing, there is going to still be a great degree of nervousness around the markets. The accepted reality is that the deleveraging process is certainly not over, and the sentiment and the way markets are being priced is that we're going to see this deleveraging process continue into the future. No one knows, though, how long it will last, and no one really knows what percentage of the deleveraging has already gone before us. So these markets are primed for a catalyst to start to change the direction of a number of these downtrends, and it is simply a matter of waiting and seeing, because when it occurs, it's quite likely to give us a very clear signal on the charts simply because so many of these, particularly those dollar-related charts, have been so remarkably consistent and have had such huge moves that when they lose their consistency, we should be able to pick up on that relatively quickly. So these charts, particularly the currencies, are well worth keeping an eye on. And with that, I will leave you for the evening, but thank you very much for your time.